Interview Media Servisa.
13th of February is World Radio Day. Secretary General of the Association of European Radios and Director of External Affairs of Radio Center in UK, Matt Payton came to Zagreb to participate in the third Croatian Radio Forum conference. And he's also our guest in Interview of the Week Media Service. Good afternoon, dear listeners and viewers. I'm Andrea Barac. Good afternoon, Mr. Payton, and thank you for coming.
Good afternoon. Thank you for inviting me.
First of all, let me congratulate you on the World Radio Day.
Yeah.
And you decided to spend it in a Croatian Radio Forum conference in Zagreb. Croatian Radio Forum is the latest joint member, and now Association of European Radios has 17 members.
That's right. We're very proud to have the Croatian Radio Forum join with AER and become our 17th member today. And it's great to announce it on World Radio Day.
And the main topic of this third conference is commercial radio in contemporary Europe. Can you tell us what is the current position of the radio in media industry in EU?
I think it's important to say that radio starts in a really strong position at the moment across Europe. It reaches about 85% of the population for between 2 to 3 hours, some more in some countries like the UK where I'm from. Its revenues, its advertising still actually remains pretty strong. Again, it kind of ranges between maybe 5% to 10% normally of the advertising market. It's more in some countries like Croatia, I understand. So it's starting from a really strong position and has some really strong foundations. It hasn't seen the declines probably that the press have seen in advertising and readership and audiences. And it's been able to sort of put its content out on lots of different platforms in different ways and evolve and remain really strong. So I think it's important to say from as a starting point, it has really strong foundations, is very popular, is very trusted, is very valued by its audiences. But we can't be complacent. We can't sit back and say everything is going to be okay. We have to work hard and earn the value that we have and tackle the challenges that we face.
Okay, we will speak about challenges and changes a little bit later.
Sure.
But what about the importance of commercial radio in the media market? Can you give us some examples from your country how commercial radio positively affected to our market and the economy in general?
Sure. I mean, there's different ways. Obviously, value of radio comes in lots of different forms. It can be the value to the advertisers. So we did an analysis of hundreds of advertising campaigns in the UK, and we found for every £1 that an advertiser spent with commercial radio, they got £7.70 back in return on investment, which was a pretty powerful figure that we could use with advertisers. The other sort of types of value, I suppose, are the value it has in providing trusted news and information, I guess supporting the music industry through the promotion of new or established artists, the payment of royalties to those artists. So there's all sorts of ways that radio provides value, not just for the listeners and the entertainment that they get, but the value to the economy and the country. And so I think that's another reason why I think it remains important and valuable. And I think that's generally understood by, you know, by governments and politicians who think about these things.
You mentioned trusting in the news. According to Eurobarometer research, surveys have found that the radio is the most trusted from all the media. Do you have a simple answer on that question? Why? And is it true that radio stations are free from fake news?
I think that's, you know, clearly that survey has found for a number of years now that radio is the most trusted media across Europe. In, I think, 24 out of the 33 countries they asked, radio was number one, normally followed by television and press. And probably not surprisingly, social media, online, unregulated types of media were the least trusted. You know, people use that a lot and we understand that. But, you know, because it's not regulated, because there is no need for them to be balanced or impartial in the same way as radio. You know, there's lots of opinion, but perhaps not so much fact and not so much to trust. So I think it's no accident that those surveys have found consistently over the last few years that radio is the most trusted. And I think that, again, it reflects the different range of things that radio does. You know, some stations, like, you know, news stations, will provide in-depth analysis and debate and discussion and balance And they're normally regulated to provide that balance and not just be about one view or another view.
Yeah, that's not the case in social media.
Exactly right. So I think it's that contrast that you see with radio in particular. And even on music stations, you know, that are providing short bulletins at the on the hour, giving you the headlines, shouldn't be undervalued, because it provides information, you know, at key times, at breakfast time, when you're driving in the car. So it provides that key information that you need to know. And then, yeah, maybe you'll go and find out more about it, or you'll read more about it. But that sort of on the move at key times, at key points throughout the day, is a real strength of radio that I think other media don't have.
When you were elected in June 2019, as a Secretary General, you said it's a real honor to take on this role, especially in the time of such enormous changes for radio across Europe. What are the biggest changes and biggest challenges? Can you give us also some examples in your country?
Sure. I mean, I think the one thing that we all face in all media, but radio, I guess, in particular in recent years, is the explosion of competition that we face. So, you know, what we've seen in recent years is, you know, now we're not just competing with another radio station in our own area or even our own country. You know, we're dealing with media companies and competitors from all around the world. You know, I can pick up my phone and get 100,000 different radio stations on TuneIn from anywhere in the world. You know, there's millions of podcast episodes that I have access to. But I still listen to radio because that still gives me something else. But we shouldn't be too complacent about that, because I think the range of competition that people have access to, you know, is going to have an effect on listening and on time that people have available. So I think what we as an industry have been trying to do is evolve what we can offer. So provide different services that are distinct, that are different, that play on the strengths of radio, about being live, about being trusted, about providing that kind of live connection to people that you don't get from a Spotify, or you don't get from a streaming service. So it's trying to play on the strengths of radio and do that. And so I think, you know, in the UK, you mentioned, I mean, what we've seen there is a reaction to that by offering new and different services for different audiences to try and in a sense tackle the range of competition that we face, and also, you know, being able to innovate to be where the listeners are, so we are, you know, on those platforms as well. So, you know, using platforms, that there's an industry platform called Radio Player, which is now in about 12-13 markets across Europe, that provides the opportunity for radio to be on smartphones, smart speakers, in cars that are connected.
So radio is everywhere.
So radio is everywhere, exactly right. So I think that's one way that we need to try and make sure that we can hold on to our listeners and tackle some of those challenges.
And for the end, Croatia is currently in process of accepting a new law of electronic media. So it will be great for us to hear how the liberal legislative framework can contribute to the progress and develop radio industry and eventually influence on the economy in general.
Sure. I mean, I think what we as AER and certainly as Radio Centre in the UK have always said is that the more freedom that radio stations have to determine their own output, the better that is going to be.
Is important for us.
Because for us, we live or die by that. You know, if our listeners don't like it and people don't want it, they'll go elsewhere. They've never had so much choice. So I think providing the flexibility for radio stations to be able to react in a way that the listeners need and the listeners want is really important. Again, in the UK, we spent a number of years trying to say to our government and our regulators that the regulation that they were using was invented in a time before the internet, you know. And in that time, maybe it was sensible to say this station should play this much music of this type, or this station should be providing this much speech, or playing different types of things. And so it was quite, that they were quite interventionist.
And it's more logical, actually.
Yeah. So in those days, maybe it was logical, but now, I think we're in a world where, you know, you can pick up your phone and listen to music from any genre, from anywhere in the world. Having that kind of planned approach doesn't seem sensible anymore. We need to have the flexibility to be able to produce music programming and formats or news and information in the ways that uses technology that listeners really want. And the content that they really want. So we've been able to sort of do that slowly and gradually, working with our government, working with our regulator. And I think it's helped, you know, because it's helped the industry to be able to react to the needs and desires of listeners.
Okay, maybe we will accomplish the same.
Well,
like you.
Well, I hope so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for this conversation.
Thank you very much.
Interview Media Servisa.